When we suffer from grief, which can come in all shapes and sizes, we tend to seek comfort. Or, more accurately, those in our lives seeing us suffering from grief try so very hard to give comfort in any way that they possibly can. They reach out in love when they see someone they care for dearly suffering. Sometimes this is helpful and accepted by the griever, and sometimes the griever needs space and time. The space that the griever finds themselves in can become a space in which God's love can be felt, found, or discovered again. We are reminded that God's love is constant and never departs from us. We can never be separated from it. Taking the statement, "everything happens for a reason," and breaking it down, it falls apart pretty quickly. I'm not going to go into depth over it, but point out a few flaws. I do realize that there may be some people present today who may find comfort in this statement or frequently use it. I am just attempting to share what my perspective is on this statement and how I believe it pertains to our scripture text from today and why I've personally connected the two. If you're interested in learning more about it, I am quoting statements from Adam Hamilton's book, Half-Truths. Adam states, "If we examine the notion that everything happens for a reason, the first problem is that it eliminates the concept of personal responsibility for our actions. If I cheat on my wife, it must have been part of God's plan. It also makes all of the consequences of the cheating part of God's plan. A second problem is that it makes God responsible for everyone's actions. If God actually intended for everything to happen, then God is responsible for every terrible thing that happens in our world." Adam Hamilton dives much deeper in examining the implications of this statement and how it can perhaps cause harm to some. The main thing that stuck with me is this statement by Hamilton: "I do not believe that God dictates our choices as if we are mere puppets. Instead, God gave us a brain, a heart, a conscience, His Spirit, the scriptures, and the ability to interpret them as guides to help us select the right path." So how, you ask, do I connect these things to our scripture reading for today? After reading Adam's book and finding what I personally considered the debunking of the statement, "everything happens for a reason," I found solace in Romans 8:28. "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose." I began to realize that even with all the hardships I had to deal with, I had been able to recognize similar stories or backgrounds in others and was able to share my experiences, give hope, or just plain share a kinship with them through our sufferings. To me, this was bringing to good those horrible life experiences. But this week, I found more to this particular passage. I attended some continuing education classes for lay preachers with the Lutherans at Hartwick College during this week. And one of the classes was on preaching, and we chose to delve into this scripture because we all had to preach on it this Sunday. Now, I had already equated this scripture passage with suffering or grief or hardships, since I know at the time of writing this, Christians everywhere were being persecuted. There was loss, there was pain, there was devastation. Connecting with our present time, we also experience loss today, maybe slightly different from certain losses in the days of the first Christians, but we still experience the loss of loved ones, the loss of livelihood, the loss of innocence, the loss of cognition, and the list goes on. For these losses, we grieve. Now, our everyday lives can be filled with distractions that it creates in us noise that sometimes makes it difficult for us to hear God's voice speaking to us. But in our grief, it is very possible for us to be removed from these distractions of life, from the noise. We may not have a choice in this matter when it comes to grief. Because in grief, sometimes we are not able to do or think or continue on as we normally had in the past. When we are immersed in this kind of grief, hearing God's voice may be the only thing that carries us through. And with all of the noise extinguished, all there is to hear is God's voice and the crying out of God's love for us. Gail, my instructor for this class, shared her story of grief. Her and her husband went on vacation where he died suddenly at the age of 49. It crushed her, and she grieved very deeply. And at the time, she lived in Gettysburg, and she went for a walk on one of the trails through the battlefield. And this particular trail had very tall trees on either side. And she was walking down this trail just sobbing. And she said to God, "I can't do this anymore." She said she very clearly heard God say, "You are not alone. I am with you." And she said, "But I can't even pray. I have no words." And he said, "That's okay. These trees are praying for you." She shared with us that eventually she heard a poem that summed up defining her grief perfectly. And it's by W.H. Auden. Listen to his words. "Stop all the clocks. Cut off the telephone. Prevent the dog from barking with a juicy bone. Silence the pianos, and with muffled drum bring out the coffin. Let the mourners come. Let aeroplanes circle moaning overhead, scribbling on the sky the message, 'He is dead.' Put crepe bows around the white necks of the public doves. Let the traffic policemen wear black cotton gloves. He was my north, my south, my east and west, my working week and my Sunday rest, my noon, my midnight, my talk, my song. I thought that love would last forever. I was wrong. The stars are not wanted now. Put out every one. Pack up the moon, dismantle the sun. Pour away the ocean and sweep up the wood, for nothing now can ever come to any good." Even in the depth of this grief, Gail was able to hear God speaking to her. When you've been in a place where food doesn't look satisfying and company doesn't sound like a great idea, when you've been down in the depths, it's hard to hear the noise of life, all those distractions that pull at our attention. And when the noise is gone, maybe, just maybe, we hear God's voice a little clearer. It's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. For me, this scripture passage points out to us that no matter what we may face in our lives, God's love is always and ever present. Listen to some of the verses from this passage. "If God is for us, who is against us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in the creation, in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Is Paul saying that through our power as humans we will not stray? We will not become angry? We will not grieve and possibly blame God? all these things that he's listed can have the power to pull us away from God. But none of these things can pull God away from us. God's love is constant. It is unmoving and unchanging. Think of it this way. If you don't believe in gravity, do you think you can step out of a second-story window and not fall to the ground? Whether you believe in gravity or not, it's still there. It still has its effects on you. The same goes for God's love. Whether you believe it or not, it still exists. For me, giving up the statement everything happens for a reason was a huge deal. It was something I had clung to for comfort for so long. Being able to give this up and share what I've learned and experienced is what my goal is now, today and always. We must realize that not everything that happens in life can be explained or even justified. We must remember that even though we may struggle and have bad days and bad moments, God's love is never far from us. It is always there, ever present. God's love is constant. Amen.